Truckin', got my chips cashed in. Keep truckin', like the dude of man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep truckin' on, on, on.
Welcome back to the Rant and Rave podcast, a production of Rogue Machine Theater. I'm your host, Sarah Fenton. We continue our exploration of propaganda with a story from our beloved set designer. Here's Ron Batita to introduce her.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Rogue Machine's Rant and Rave. Stephanie Curly Schwartz is resident designer for Rogue Machine. She spends most of her time in traffic, driving around Los Angeles looking for cheap or free stuff to force actors to wear or sit on. When she isn't in her car, she's wasting time on the internet. Her stories have appeared in the Santa Monica Review and in Flash Fiction Online. Ladies and gentlemen, Stephanie Curly Schwartz.
I was instructed to do this. Hello. Things go better with love. It's what makes a... Nothing comes between me and my... You believe everything you read? I read a lot. When I was about 15, I read three publications religiously: Rolling Stone, Ms. Magazine, and Vogue. This still pretty much represents my ethos. Listens to lots of music, keeping injustice in mind, while dressing fabulous. After all the cartoons I watched in elementary school, this deep reading was my complete immersion into the bath of American popular culture. That year, we lived in Omaha, Nebraska, and I walked the few windy suburban blocks to the 7-Eleven newsstand to get my fix. From the Gospel of the Rolling Stone, I learned that Jerry Garcia was perhaps the best guitarist ever, and I was missing out until I'd attended a Grateful Dead concert, as they were the most important group to experience in your lifetime. I vowed to see them, and somehow, at the same time that I read that article, they were, in fact, on tour. And coincidentally, coming to the arena in Omaha. My friend Karen was the first to get her driver's license, so I enlisted her. Rolling Stone says we have to see them. It will change our lives. I knew a couple of their songs, but had never bought an album. It was all supposed to be about the jam, the band riding the sound waves of Jerry's guitar strings until the audience reached a state of ecstatic nirvana. I owned a cute little pipe, but I didn't actually know how to get any pot. Karen managed to buy us some. Our friend Allison came with us and brought matches. It was a potluck. We wore halter tops made from bandanas and frayed jeans and toe ring buffalo sandals. I maybe ignored Vogue on that outfit. We brought a sleeping bag as there were no seats in the huge arena. We stood and swayed with the faithful under the blue cloud of smoke hanging above us. And what else do I remember about that concert? It was phenomenal, outrageous. I experienced deeply felt boredom. A few songs we recognized, Sugar Magnolia and Truckin', but really, just hours and hours of unending. Well, once the pot took effect, the three of us settled in for an expensive two-hour nap, and I learned to be a little more skeptical, even when Rolling Stone touted the greatest ever anything. Some of you may disagree with me on the Grateful Dead in concert. I respect that without understanding it. Because I'm worth it. You deserve it. Just do it. I'm loving it. Have it your way. Reading Ms. Magazine confirmed what I had known since kindergarten. It isn't fair to be a girl. For my fifth birthday, I got a bright red metal fire truck with real wooden ladders, headlights, a wind-up siren, and a bell that I could ring while pedaling down the sidewalk, scattering the other toddler gangsters out of my way. There's a photo of me sitting behind the wheel in pink foam curlers, under a hairnet, with cat-eye sunglasses, taken on our Tulsa patio, styling, even then, before I could read Vogue. We were barely supervised in those days, and my mother's favorite joke was, go play in traffic. Ha! So funny! Anyway, first day of kindergarten, and they had a fire truck there, too. Jumped in and started pedaling around the kinder yard. I owned this awesomeness. School was going to be great. The teacher came right over, halted the truck, and told me to get out because the fire truck was for boys. And she steered me by the shoulder inside to the kitchen and the dollhouse, which were also great, way bigger than my play kitchen at home, but the truck, my fire truck, unfair. Years later, as a freshman in theater school, design tech at Purchase, the first week on my very first crew assignment, wielding a hammer on the set of The Seagull, what else, it was college, the technical director professor says to me, you hammer like a girl. Apparently, I've lost this memory, I was so angry that according to my all-guy classmates, I memorably said, well, you fuck like a girl. Not knowing he was gay, or even much about what gay being gay was, but since he was closeted and very uptight, things went way, way downhill with him and me for the next 3 years. What I obviously intended to say was, isn't it your job to teach me how to hammer correctly? And would that be like a boy? And did you really mean like a girl as an insult? Like a girl, really. So Ms., required reading. Reach out and touch someone, finger licking good. Bet you can't eat just one. Does she or doesn't she? Newsflash. A recent study proves that bald men are considered by women to be sexier, more dominant, and stronger than men with a full head of hair. However, before you get too excited, Batita, the same study found that men with luscious locks were rated much more attractive. So, Donald Trump, attractive? Anyone? Vogue, Vogue. The fashionable friend of female fantasies, always there to inspire and torture, but now it's just research. One of the great pleasures of being a designer is research. I know more than I need to about logging camps in the early 20th century, or why French doors are double, and the difference between Art Nouveau and Art Deco and everything bungalow. But research on the internet can be a wormhole which, without warning, dishes up darkness. Costuming a recent production at SCR, I had to research hazing. There are now horrible things I cannot unsee. Does learning something which confirms what you already think create a hardened circle of conviction in your brain? Taken to the extreme, hazing has occasionally brought young people to torturous deaths, or go mad, or to learn how to do evil unto others. The upside is it can create strong group loyalties, which in some instances, like battle, for example, is useful. Also, Tech Week. The famed Milgram experiment at Yale in 1961 measured the willingness of participants from diverse backgrounds to follow the orders of an authority figure and administer increasingly stronger electric shocks to another person, an actor, screaming in a different room within earshot. Skipping immense amounts of detail, the team was surprised at how many people went all the way, 66%, even when uncomfortable doing so. And in subsequent versions, the percentages remained about the same. When the participant objected, the scientists used the following simple phrases in this exact order. 1, please continue. 2, the experiment requires you to continue. 3, it is absolutely essential that you continue. 4, you have no other choice, you must go on. And a lot of people did. You think you wouldn't? Oh, you're certain. I would never have gone along with the Nazis. Do you believe you can see through sophisticated messaging? What brand of sneakers, coffee, shampoo, toilet paper represents the real you? The Ex-Lax Brownie experiment. You think you wouldn't ever? But I did. I once made Ex-Lax Brownies because I had a crush on a mean guy. But he was built like a greyhound and had blue eyes and was funny and the only alpha in the account reps at the ad agency where I was grossly underpaid. He made many phone calls to persuade me. Maybe I enjoyed the attention. If I had really absorbed what I read in Ms. Magazine, I would have told him to bake his own goddamn brownies. But ultimately, I did it. And instead of fun, I felt shame. The fellow who was the object of the poison brownies just bugged us and was probably harmless, except he was the son of the head of the firm and he was rude and had zero talent, was probably on the spectrum or just a nerd. But because he was the boss's son, we were powerless and couldn't complain. But afterwards, not only did I not like myself for doing it, I realized I didn't like the cute account executive either. And soon after, I switched back to my equally low-paying but great job at the costume shop of the public theater, which I famously once lit on fire and earned the nickname Torch. But that's another story. Be on guard, people. Be very skeptical this year. And watch out for bullies with too much hair overcompensating for their lack of baldness. Let your fingers do the walking. Don't leave home without it. We'll leave the light on for you.
That was Stephanie Curley Schwartz on Propaganda. Thanks for listening, and join us next week when we get evangelical. Click your way to roguemachinetheater.com to find info on our award-winning stage shows, as well as get tickets to our next Rant and Rave live event in June. If you like the show, consider sharing it with a friend. And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by searching Rogue Machine Theater and have a new story delivered to you every week. Thanks for listening. Rant and Rave, the podcast, is a production of Rogue Machine Theater. Our executive producers are John Polono and myself, Sarah Fenton. Our guest co-producer this month is David Jetty. Series producer is Daniel Goodman. Webmaster is Amanda Maurer. And our podcast theme music is by Heartbreak and Nautistrom. I'm Sarah Fenton. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.